those, Lord, needing a healing touch from you. Pray, Lord, for those listening in also, perhaps needing a touch from you, Lord. And Lord, maybe somebody listening on their own tonight, just maybe even lonely, Lord. But Lord, we pray that you'll draw near onto that person, Lord. Let them know, Lord, that you are a friend that sticks closer on a brother, and you're more real on a brother. Lord, because man is fallible and he can let you down, but Lord, you never let us down. Lord, you're faithful and you're just. We thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we pray this evening, Lord, that your message come, and may we be comforted by the Holy Ghost. May we feel your presence here tonight in our midst, moving from seat to seat, from heart to heart, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Pray, Lord, this evening that each individual will pray within themselves and have a desire, Lord God, that you would visit with me. Lord, I pray that will be everybody's prayer tonight. Lord, visit me, Lord, I pray. I pray, Lord God, you'll speak to me. I pray, Lord, you'll feed me. I pray, Lord God, you'll fill me. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our King, I pray. Amen. Praise God. Sing another hymn of the portions. I was thinking that we have a reminder that I had said last night, saying to wait for all that have come. We'll just wait and we'll stand. I'm not trying to play all the stuff. So not, but, can we sing that little chorus? I was once in darkness. Now my eyes can see, I was lost, and Jesus saw me.
I was lost in darkness, now I can see. I was lost, but Jesus sought and found me. Oh, and love me offered, oh, at peace again. I will sing forever, or relive. Hallelujah.
praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. And we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service tonight. And we just trust the Lord will bless each and every one that's here this evening. And just thank the Lord for His mercy and His grace. I want to read from Luke chapter 17. And I really enjoyed the message that our brother John brought this morning. I believe it was a word in season. And thank the Lord can talk to us from His word, isn't that right? And give us instructions and everything from the word of God. There's a wee man that me and my wife went a wee message to his house. It's only about 2 weeks ago. And he was pain, they thought he had a heart problem and he was to go in for stents or else a heart bypass. He wasn't sure. They call him Brian. And I don't think he's saved. But you know, he said something to my wife, and really, we never preached to him, but I believe God spoke to him. Now, I know that sounds really strange, but you can have a testimony without saying anything. Your life can be a testimony. And he really said something, you know, and it was a good thing what he said. And this evening I was up studying this evening, waiting on the Lord, you know, and another man called John rang me. This other man, John, used to sing around group in a Christian group years ago. I know him a long time. And he was telling me Brian's very, very ill. They don't even know if he's going to do this. I think he said bleeding at the brain. So I want to remember Brian in prayer tonight. And also John then, you know, I don't know, maybe the man could be listening in. But I said, John, you know, the thing is we need to be ready when we go, because we don't know when we're going to go. You could be healthy today and gone tomorrow. And he cried with me on the phone. I've known him a long time. I'm friendly with him. He knows that I preach and everything, and the man saved himself. He used to sing in a group, and he's got vertigo. I don't know much about vertigo, but apparently there's not much you can do with it. When you lie down, it's like you're spinning. But I'm going to pray for John as well tonight, John and Brian, and that God will move on both of them, and maybe give Brian another chance if he's not saved. Maybe he is saved, but you know, it's good to be ready to go, isn't it? Praise God. I'm going to read this scripture, first of all, from Luke 17, and I want tonight, I've been preaching about the different miracles of the Lord. Tonight, I want to type this till salvation from these lepers in this story of Luke 17, verse 11 down to 19. And this is a wonderful portion. And the Lord really showed me something from verse 19 some time back about one of these lepers which blessed me. I might have already shared it. I can't remember. But let's read chapter 17 of Luke, verse 11 down. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, so it doesn't give the name of it, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it shall come to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. So they were already healed. Verse 16, and fell down at his face and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So there's 9 Jews and 1 Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.
And he said unto him, Arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, what leprosy takes your fingers off, I'm not being crude, but everybody I'm sure knows that, removes your fingers and your toes. Parts of your body disappear with leprosy. Now, the Lord healed all of them, but this one that came back, he made him whole. That means the fingers come back again and the toes come back again. I think that's remarkable. You say, how do you know that? Because the Lord showed me that. That's what I believe. Nobody ever changed me. Amen. That's what I believe. Whole. Because whole means complete. Though the rest were healed, they weren't going to die with it. But they never come back, but he come back. Let us pray this evening. And those that's tuned in tonight, maybe someone not well at home, and that the Lord will touch them as well. And for Brian and John this evening, and any others, raise your hand in here when our eyes are closed if you need the Lord's touch. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you this evening. And if you're praying for someone else, the Lord bless you tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the atonement, for the finished work of Christ on the cross. We bless you for the shed blood, for the sprinkling of the blood, for the incorruptibility of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Father, not one of us could come of our own steam, of our own merits, but we come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, we plead the merits of that blood over everyone in this service. And all those that are tuned in tonight, we plead the blood. Lord, I'm asking for the Holy Ghost to come. Not only to come in this room, but to go out to those we're praying for. That's hearing your word. I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will. Lord, I pray for every hand that's raised in this building, that you will meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. For those that are sick this evening, I heard of a young minister tonight. I won't mention his name, but you know who it is, Lord, that you'll touch him from COVID and heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. For others, Lord, perhaps at home sick, may you touch them and heal them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you for John that this vertigo will go from him and that you'll spur him, Lord, for some time more yet and he'll be all right in the name of the Lord. Father, for Brian, oh Lord, grant him mercy at this time, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And Father, bless your word to all of our hearts right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want to say, wherever Jesus went, wherever he went, he always found occasion for his infinite power and mercy to be shown, wherever he went. And this is a wonderful portion of Scripture, what displays that infinite power an infinite mercy of the Lord. He was constantly on the lookout. The Lord was on the lookout for the distressed, for the despairing. He was constantly on the lookout. He was always conscious. He was always available and always availing himself to the need of those that needed him. Hallelujah. And I believe tonight he's the same. For he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He was always there to meet every need. And the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Hallelujah. In Acts 10, verse 38, and keep in Luke 17, because I'm going to really go through it tonight. I have very few scriptures this evening, but most of it's from this one chapter. Luke, Acts 10, verse 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. I love that scripture. Who went about doing good. Hallelujah. He went about doing good. One of the best sermons I ever heard preached in that was Albert Chambers. Albert Chambers preached a message about Jesus going about doing good. And he brought out from it, he said every time he done it, he got in trouble. And when you go about doing good, you'll be in trouble with the enemy. But Jesus went about doing good, hallelujah, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The devil is an oppressor. But Jesus delivers from oppression. Like we heard this morning, one side, he's the other side. The devil's only a tool in the hand of God. He's a puppet. He's a puppet on a string for God. But remember, God holds the puppet. And he only can do what God permits him to do. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. And Jesus Christ defeated him at the cross. Not only did he defeat him, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And Reinhard Bonnke made a tremendous statement, and I really love it. He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus done. He plundered hell that he might populate heaven. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, when God's with you, something has to happen. This is wonderful, you know. The Lord was with him. Anywhere the Lord is, the power of the Lord is present to heal. Amen. If the Lord's there, the power of the Lord is there also. He cannot be separated, I don't believe, from his power, from his presence, from his message. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I tell you, if you're in a situation tonight and you need set free from it, Jesus Christ is the only answer. Hallelujah. In Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt, and he laid down his life for us on the cross as an atonement. An atonement. It was by laying down his life that we can be saved. It was by laying down his life that we can have the unsearchable riches of his glory, of his presence, because he laid down his life. The redemption price for our body and our souls was paid for on the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 4 tells us that. Then you could go over, and most Bibles will even have it in the margin. It'll run you straight over to what Isaiah says. Matthew quotes it as well. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes wounds we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Everyone should know them scriptures. He his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He's already done it for you. Hallelujah. His miracle appealing in this village, it wasn't named, on the way to Jerusalem. Look at verse 11 and 12 in chapter 17 of Luke. Has for us thoughts tonight that I want to bring out in a gospel type of a message. You know, I know you can get criticized for preaching the gospel. Imagine that. That's ridiculous. Even to think that, but it's true nevertheless. Isn't that a terrible thing, really? That a man would be criticized. All he does is preach the gospel. Now, you know, that's the devil that would say that. All a man does preach the gospel. That's God's man.
Yes.
I'll tell you, that's all he does is preach the gospel. Amen. What's the devil preach? He preaches no fear. Then he fills you with fear.
Yes.
Even they'll get you to put the sticker on your car, no fear. Many's ever saw them stickers, but he's filled with fear. Now, there is no fear when you're the Lord. Now, you know, let me say this, and then I'm going to come back to this. I was going to preach on this tonight, but then I didn't get the time I wanted. I like time when I'm preparing for a message. Then when I say I like time, then the time goes and goes and goes. And you go from one thing to another. You fellas know when you get studying and praying and putting scriptures down, it's never ending. One links to another. But there's a fella on the radio, they were asked about the COVID thing that goes on the phone. I don't know the right name for it. Trace, COVID trace, or something that's going on the phone anyway. You can download something on your phone. This is a new technology. But one fella asked the question, how good is it, you know, for the future? Will it need changed? And he says it's future proof. Well, that's a lie. And if I'd have got on the radio, I'd have told him that's the biggest lie, mister, you've ever told out of your mouth. There's only one thing that future proofs you.
Yes.
That is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You need to be born again of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, him that hath the Son hath life. Him that hath not the Son hath not life. So there's only one thing that future proofs you. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Jack Cole preached a sermon called Hell Proofed. And when you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're hell proofed. You can't go to hell because you're going to heaven. Amen. Translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Hallelujah. It's not when you make it, it's happen. Once you're born again, you're in. And he puts you in, and no devil can take you out. Aren't you glad? Future proof. That's the type of lies people's following. We heard about something this morning. But I'll tell you this, here's the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Praise God. But let's see this here from these scriptures tonight, verse 12. I want you to see the pitiful sight of these 10 men. Pitiful sight. I was invited with a man from India to go and preach in India. I've been invited several times. Maybe one day I'll go, but I can't go till, you know, you have to feel led to go somewhere like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not like going around the corner to preach. You know, when you're going to go to India to preach, or anywhere really, you need to know the Lord sent you. And you know, many times I went to Africa, and the first times I went to Africa, I took no vaccines, I took nothing. And one fellow one night gave me a telling off. He was in the army, and he said I should have took this, and he listed a list of stuff. Then the next time I went to the doctors, and I got a yellow fever shot. Who's ever heard of it? Well, I wasn't too well after I got it. But, you know, whatever a yellow fever shot is, there's a load of shots, but there's not many shots they want to give me. And she said, when are you going? And I told her in 30 days' time. She said, well, he couldn't get all them shots before then. I said, no matter, I'm going anyhow. But the Lord kept me, because I knew I was meant to go. All I'm saying is, if you know you're meant to go, the Lord will keep you. Amen. If you're really in God's will, the Lord will keep you. And one of them times I did go, I needed £1,000, and I left church that Sunday. And when I got home, in our hallway was an envelope with said Africa on it, £1,000 was in it. On another occasion, a man came to the hall when we were in Bonbridge, brought to the police station. And I said in the fellowship, I'm feeling to go to Africa. And a man came, didn't come to our meetings, but he came that morning. And he gave me an envelope. He said, God told me to give you that for Africa. When God wants you to go somewhere and make the way, if there's no way to do it, mightn't be God want you to go, it might be yourself. But God will make the way. But here's a pitiful sight. Before this fella invited us to India, and Brother Brian and them helped people over in India, Brian Freeborn and the fellowship there. There's a colony of lepers that this man was telling me he looks after. That have leprosy. It's still in the world today. It's a terrible thing, you know. Now, it says in verse 12, and there met him 10 men lepers. 10 of them. In Luke 17, verse 12. 10 bound together by a common misery. And all these had the same thing, and utterly unable to save themselves. They could do nothing for themselves. They cried out to the Lord. Although there was 10 of them that had the same condition, the suffering and the dangers for each one was the exact same. And every one of us is born in sin, we're sheep in iniquity. Every one of us is in the same class to receive all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Although we may, you know, we could have companions in sin, but it's still the same sin. Just like these lepers, they were all lepers, and all of sin, and leprosy is tied with the Bible of sin, of uncleanness, and all of sin, and there's nobody that hasn't sinned. There's none good, no, not one. And these men's condition was all the same. And you know, leprosy is an outstanding type of sin in Scripture. We're going to look at that for a moment. Like, it brings uncleanness. Sin brings uncleanness. How many knows that? How many knows the wee song, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will leave you longer than you want to stay. You know, when you get into sin, whether it's drinking or smoking or pornography or stealing or robbing, you start off simple, but it goes further and further and further to where it becomes a bondage. And then the bondage becomes an obsession. And if that's not dealt with, the obsession can become a possession. So that's how it all programs out. You know, they say when they did studies in some of the top jails in America, where there was people that killed women and done all types of murders, they say most of it, when they traced it, started off with pornography. It started off with pornography and it deepened to deeper sexual sins, to where they began to kill people. And you see, that comes a possession, where there's devils and demons are real. We heard about it mentioned this morning. Where if you give place to the devil, you won't need to ask him if you want to come in. He will come in. But you won't want him in. You want him out. And I tell you, all sin's uncleanness. And the true cry of the leper, you know, look, Leviticus 13:45. Keep in Luke's gospel. Her brother put it up, Leviticus 13:45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his hand burned, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. And the leper had to cry unclean. And every man and every woman that's never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ are unclean. They're unclean before a holy God. And there's only one thing that can clean a man, and only one thing that can clean a woman. That's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. We're only taught, like the leper, to speak the truth. When we're asked to make a confession of our sins, we must speak the truth. We must confess with the mouth, believe in our heart. Then we'll be saved. Also, there's something else about the leprosy and about sin. It leads to separation. Leprosy leads to separation. And it was sin that separated us from God in the beginning. When Adam sinned, he made himself at a distance from God. He distanced himself. God even put him out of the garden. The saddest picture they say in all of the Bible was Adam being escorted out of the garden by the angels and cherubims to guard that tree with flaming swords. Now we know they bring it to us because of mercy, but then they were guarded with flaming swords. How many knows that? I haven't time to go into it tonight. But it says they stood afar off. The place appointed for them by the law of God without the camp. They had to cry unclean, and they had to cry without the camp. They weren't allowed into the camp. And the only way that we can really come to God and be in the presence of God is through God's provided way. And God's provided way is not an organization or a particular church building, but God's provided way is the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus. And we can't come to God if we don't come through the blood. And it is only through the blood that we can come to God. We're outside of the camp because of sin. Leviticus 13:46, and all the days when the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his inhabitant be. And you were alone and I was alone until we come to the person of Christ. Now we're no longer alone, but we're heirs with God. And we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we can say, I have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Far off is the beseeching of all those who have been made nigh by the blood. We're brought in, no longer far off, we're brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 12. Verse 13 and 12, Ephesians 2, sorry, verse 12 and 13, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens, aliens from the commonwealths of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. A handshake won't make you nigh. Signing your name in a book won't make you nigh, but it's by the blood of Jesus Christ you're cleansed and you're made nigh. Clean by the blood. Aren't you glad the blood cleanses? The very character alienates them from the life and fellowship of God. Like sin, it is humanly incurable. The doctors can't, leprosy was humanly incurable. Another man couldn't cure a leper, but Christ did. Now understand when I say that Jesus was a man, but that's only a half truth. He was also God in man. Amen. I like what Spurgeon says. He called him the God man. That's it for me. Jesus Christ was man, but he was the God man. God was in him without measure. He was in him in fullness. And he's the only man that you could come to that would make the change. No other man could cure it. And Mike, listen this evening. I don't care what earthly priest you go to down here, or a pastor, or an evangelist. He can't save you. I've heard people saying, I was saved under so-and-so. That's impossible. You can only be saved under Jesus Christ. Under nobody else can you be saved. If you were saved under so-and-so, then who saved him? Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Amen.
And that's the only way we can be saved. It's incurable. Incurable to all others. But Christ can cure it. There's a remedy for it. And that remedy is the Lord. Man has no remedy for the leprosy. He can only attempt to alleviate the suffering. You know, the man, it's the same with anything. I was somewhere the other day, somebody had asked for prayer, somebody broke a leg, pray for his healing. And you know, a doctor puts the two bones together, he puts it in a cast, he does what he does, but that doctor does not heal your leg. God does that part. God made you in such a way, when your bones come together and they well, it's like a well and goes round where the break is. But the doctor didn't make that welting go round. God made you in such a way that there's something in you and it heals. But it's ultimately God, not the doctor. Jesus Christ is the healer. I want you to see something else here. These lepers. There was an earnest prayer with them. They weren't messing about. These 10 lepers were in earnest. See, we need to be in earnest. People need to be in earnest. We need to be in earnest when we get saved. We need to be in earnest tonight as believers if we want to see God moving. We need to be in earnest. We need to be in earnest when we come to pray. And earnestly pray before God. Get alone with yourself. And get alone with God. Close yourself in the closet. The Bible says pray in secret. And I tell you, earnest prayer. Jesus, the Master, verse 13, have mercy on us. This was an earnest prayer. Luke 17:13, have mercy on us. This was an earnest prayer. Now do you think that the Lord hears them and hear you? If you're earnest, like they're earnest, the Lord will hear you. Because the Bible says he's no respecter of persons. So the Lord can hear them, the Lord can hear you. This may have been, you know, the horse. Imagine these lepers, how they could have been affected through their throats. You know, these men were in an awful condition. I don't think we fully can comprehend the state they were in. And you know, diseased with leprosy. But it was music to the ears of the Lord. Do you know why? Because he says, I came to save sinners. Jesus came to save sinners. He says he didn't come for the whole, but for the sick. He's a physician. Jesus is known as the great physician that sympathizes in Jesus. He came for this purpose for these men. He came for them. What about doing good and healing all? For it came from the heart. These men are from the heart. Mercy. That's what they asked for. That mercy which in Jesus Christ was welded. There was omnipotence was before them. It meant omnipotence. They didn't just meet some sort of a preacher. The man omnipotence itself was before them. God in flesh before them. One that could still the water and walk on it. One that could raise the dead. One that could take a boy's lunch and feed 5,000. And another place take a boy's lunch and feed 7,000. And one place take up 12 baskets. And another place take up 7 baskets. This is the great creator. The one that could say to the storm, be still. And there was a great calm. Here he is, and they've met him. And something's going to happen. And you know, there's another thing I want you to see here. The remedy was simple. This remedy was simple. A simple remedy. Praise God. Look at verse 14. Go show yourselves to the priest. So the Lord gives them a word of a command, and they have to obey it. And the Lord gives those that's not seen a word of command, and they must obey it. It's call upon the Lord. That's the word. Call upon the Lord, and you shall receive. It's a word given that must be obeyed. And these men were told, go show yourselves to the priest. This seems a strange command, but the meaning is clear. It's absolutely clear. The priests have condemned you as lepers. If you believe that I can heal you, and I'm healing you, go show yourselves. That's what he's saying to them. And they may see your healing. Look at Leviticus. Look at Leviticus. This is where the Lord's quoting them. He's quoting the word, you know. He is the word. He's quoting the word. Leviticus 14, verse 2 and 3. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, and if the plague of the leprosy be healed in the leper. And these men were told, go show yourselves to the priest. He quoted them the law. But as soon as he spoke the word, they were healed. As soon as the priest was going to look at them, they were going to know that 10 of these men's healed. Jesus had spoke the word. But they obeyed it. They obeyed the word. Praise God. As they went, they were cleansed. Two things were absolutely needed here. Two things. In verse 19 of Luke, faith in the word of Christ. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For by grace, through faith, you save. That's what Ephesians tells us. Faith was needed. You say, have no faith. The Bible says you have faith. You that saved, every one of us, it says, is given a measure of faith. And think of the man that's not saved. God gives them the grace and the faith to get saved. It's a miracle. You know salvation's a miracle. You know it's even the greatest miracle you could say, above all miracles, the miracle of salvation. That God can move in a man or God can move in a woman and save them for all time and for all eternity. They might get sick and physically die, but their soul is saved. Amen. So we see faith was needed. And you know what else was needed? Obedience to the will of Christ. That's what was needed. They needed to have faith to go, and they needed to have obedience. If they had waited till they felt better, they might never have went. But as soon as they were given the word, they went. They never would have gone if they had went on the feeling. They went ever before they had a feeling. They heard the word and they went. Now I guarantee you they felt it when they went. Because a change was happening. A change was happening. But they went on the word they were given. It is why we believe and obey that we enter into life. That's when you get it. While you believe and obey, You enter into life, and that eternal life. Praise God. You know, we see a graceful recipient, verse 15. And one, when he saw he was healed, turned back and glorified God. Personal healing is something, isn't it? It's really wonderful. We can only see by experience, and something for which we should be instantly, profoundly thankful. We should be thankful to the Lord. When the Lord saves us, we should be fit to praise about it. Tell others about it. Well, the Lord does it. Not be a secret sort of a believer. God wants us to testify to His goodness to us. God wants us to confess Him before man, and He'll confess us before the Father in heaven. It was morally impossible for this man to glorify God while in the terrible bondage of leprosy, but he'd come out of it. God had healed him. It is only when we are made free from sin we can give the glory to God. This man couldn't do it in his condition, but when he met the Master, when he was given the word of command, he obeyed it, he went, and he was healed. Now he could tell others, look at me, I'm a living testimony of healing. You're a living testimony tonight of God's salvation. How do you know you're saved? The fella said years ago to a wee lad, and he says, how do I know? He says, I was there when it happened.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. That's how I know. I was there when it happened. Imagine saying to this leper, how do you know you're cleansed? I was there when it happened. Look at me. I know I'm healed. I know I'm cleansed. But only when we make this stand, the healing mercy of Christ not only made the Samaritan very thankful, it also made him humble. And one Samaritan come back. There was nine others never come back, but this one Samaritan come back. He fell on his face, the Bible tells us. Humility with thankfulness. And there's characteristics of those saved by the grace of God. When you're saved, you're thankful. You're thankful you're saved. You ever see people when they go to tell a testimony and 2 minutes they're crying? Because they're thankful for salvation. They know the Lord's done something for them. Oh, it's tremendous when you get saved. You know, there's so many fellas that I used to know and chum with, and they're not here today. There's another fellow, me and Philip knew him, and he's gone. Shot just the other week. In his own house. Somebody came in and murdered him in his own house. Another fellow that I chummed with, that I was really close with, that I stayed with, he got himself a murder bank. He had no murder bank for years, and a woman drove into him and killed him at the bank. Another fellow knew he's shot. He's dead as well. People take it for granted. Okay, I'm here. I've never done what he done. I've never done what she done. It's only by God's grace we're here. It's every day for the Lord. One day at a time is the wee song, but it's true. And we need to thank the Lord for that one day at a time. I tell you, there's a search and inquiry here, you know. In verse 17 to 19, there were 10, but where are the other 9? Where are they? He who counted the stars knew all about it. He knew all about it. Where's the other 9? Cleansed them. Where are they to tell them? And how often do we give the Lord a little thanks? How often have we an opportunity in a meeting, whether it's a prayer meeting or any sort of a meeting, and we have time or opportunity to say a wee prayer, just say, Lord, I want to thank you for saving me. How often have we an opportunity when we meet someone to say, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? You know, wee Jordy Jackson, powerful wee man, he's all know Brother Jordy. Maybe Brother Jordy's listening in tonight. But for years, Jordy still does it. He'll hand out a wee track and he'll say, the Lord's coming. You know, the Lord's coming. And the Lord is coming. For the coming of the Lord draws nigh. There's going to be a rapture, a catching up of the true church of God. Tribulation's going to set in this world. The Lord's coming. You know, the Lord expects those of us that saved to glorify Him. He does. He expects us to praise Him. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. It's quite possible for us, like those nine, to be very anxious to get salvation. But then we don't praise God when we get it. It's the same with people, you know, that are even saved and they get healed. And they never give the Lord thanks. There's so many people, God, people forget about it. But the Lord heals them. And they never give Him thanks. And we send them, when you give a wee testimony, you can hardly near have a time and bring them to the pulpit. But we should be fit to thank the Lord for the things He's done for us. Fit to give Him praise. This man come back. Those nine didn't come back, but this one come back. And because he come back, he got something more than they had. Completeness. Not only healed, but made complete. Made whole. Such secret believers. Can we really call them disciples? Because a disciple's a real follower of Christ. Now I know the secret believers. The Bible, how many knows the Bible talks about secret believers? Do you know who was? One of them straight away comes to mind. Joseph of Arimathea. Secret believer. You know Jesus was put in the tomb that he owned? He was a secret believer. You know, I remember years ago in America preaching a sermon called Craving. Joseph of Arimathea came to Jesus and he craved the body of Jesus. And you know, when I was over in America in 1991, I was shown a box of cigarettes called Craven A. Craven A. That was the name of the box of cigarettes. Craven A. And I preached a sermon in Reno, Nevada called Craven, the Body of Jesus. I was only a young fella. And I seen that cigarette box, and then I thought of Joseph of Arimathea that he craved the body of Jesus. And I'm telling you, people could see that meeting in Nevada in 1991. Lots of young people came out to their meetings. What are we craving tonight? This man here was definitely craving the Lord, wasn't he? Come back. And the Lord done something very special for him. He got the Lord's assurance that the work had been wrought was perfect. Verse 19. It was a perfect work. When God does a work in you, He does a perfect work. The devil would sink you. He would sink you, He would sink me. But the Lord keeps us. The Lord preserves us. I'm coming to close in a moment. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Verse 19. So not just healed of life-threatening leprosy, but made whole complete. Maybe you've no fingers left. Just to think of it this evening. Young people tonight in this service, think of it. Think of 10 lepers. Maybe fingers missing, toes missing. And one of them comes back to the Lord. And the Lord says, you're made complete. We take it for granted holding a pen. They couldn't have done it, no fingers, but God, the fingers come out, the fingers grow, the toes grow, maybe an ear missed, it grows, maybe part of the nose, either way, of a leprosy, it grows again. Complete, whole. That's the power of Jesus the Nazarene. Hallelujah. That's the one that spoke the word into being. That's the one that the Bible says is the beginning of the creation of God. The Bible says all things are made by Him. All things are made for Him. And without Him more than anything means it's made. You know, they consist by Him. They consist by Him. All things consist. Maintained. The word maintained means consist. It's God that keeps it going. No matter what the scientists say. With a wee girl over in Scotland the other day, as far as I'm concerned, I'll just frustrate you, not right in the head. That's my honest opinion. That's what I think of her. She needs deliverance. And that's out telling grown-ups and people what to do, and it's that height. And a cow is more dangerous, tell you, than a car. I think it was one of the brothers says, you know, you lock yourself in the barn with a cow all night, you'll smell like a cow in the morning, but you'll be alright. You'll come out alright. You'll smell like a cow. But you lock yourself in a closed-in room with God all night going, you won't be coming out. Is that right? See, it's not right. Man said to me, does the Bible say we'll not know the difference in the seasons? I says, no, it doesn't. Nowhere. I said, the Bible says, while the earth remains, summer, winter, harvest will remain. And I said, I won't even battle for you. He says, what's that? I says, in the millennium reign, every man will be under his own vine tree. Amen. The land will lie with the law.
Yes,
hallelujah. It's God that's in control.
Amen.
And I don't know about all these things. I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to try to be. And all of it, what they do, and this does that. There could be some truth in some of the things. I'm not saying there's not. But I have no time for any of it. The only thing that concerns me is God and His Word. And you need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Isn't it amazing they're against all these things and they want all these things stopped? And did you see the parade that came from America? That old boy over in America, I'll not even mention his name, you know who I'm talking about. He's one of these old boys, he's saving the planet now. But the fumes out of the vehicles, the most dangerous thing, and an array of vehicles. Hooray, I've stuck behind them. They weren't worried about what they were saving, were they?
Nope.
Oh, you see, their life's one, their voice is one thing, but their life reads something else. Can you get a fig fruit of the thorn tree?
Yeah.
If the water brings forth the bitter and the sweet, there's something wrong. By their fruit you'll know them.
Mm-hmm.
Many false Christs shall come. Many false prophets. And you know when the disciples in the book of Acts started to tell the Lord, you know, well, what about this and that? And he said, don't you worry about any of these things. Just continue on with it. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you tonight. I'm quoting one more scripture and I'm closing. Romans 10 verse 9. He told them to go and they went. They obeyed. And as they went, they were healed. Romans 10 verse 9. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thank God this evening for salvation. The miracle worker. The Lord Jesus. Do you believe he's here tonight? I believe the presence of the Lord is here tonight. Let's come and bow our heads here. Brother Gary's going to come. I've maybe went on a bit longer. Maybe somebody's tuned in tonight and you're not saved. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. I'm going to leave it with you this evening. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you this evening for your word. And I know your word is the truth and it sets men and women free. Lord, I pray you'll bless your word to all of our hearts. For any this evening that's not saved, may you give them deciding grace in Jesus' precious name. Bless the remainder of our fellowship. Bless Brother Gary as he comes. Bless every brother, every sister in this room, every boy and every girl, all that's near and dear to us. We ask you to save them in Jesus' precious name. Pray, Lord, for those we heard of that's not too well with COVID, we pray you'll heal them. And make them well. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As your brother Gary comes, you remember there was a man prayed for during the lockdown. He was really bad and the Lord touched him. He called his wife Linda. They were in America. But he took bad again like a year later. But he's good again. The Lord's touched him again. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
God bless you, brother Gary. God bless you.